David, praise be yours in every place. Lord, we pray that we, your people, who your gifts unnumbered claim, through the sharing of your blessings may bring glory to your name.
Grace, peace, and mercy to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text is the Holy Gospel. Please be seated. Dear brothers and sisters of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, take care. Be on your guard against all covetousness or greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Covetousness or greed, idolatry. Well, it doesn't get any more scandalous than that, does it? You were offended by those words, weren't you? The words that you just heard from the Lord and his apostle Paul. Those words sent your teeth to grinding, didn't they? Your hands to white-knuckled fists. Your feet began to stomp. I think I heard some of them. Your mind started reeling. Why? I'll tell you why. Because you believe that you have better words than the Lord. You falsely believe that the person with the most toys or the most possessions or the most wealth wins. You love your toys. And what you love, you cling to with all your heart, and you will not let them go. So round and round you go in the race to get bigger, better, faster, and faster, in the endless rat race that will get you nowhere. Brothers and sisters, when you believe that your life consists in what you have, wealth, material possessions, etc., when you believe that these things are utopian, salvational, or salvific, you will soon learn like King Solomon did, who had everything under the sun and more. You will learn that all is what? Vanity. You don't have better words than Jesus. So I've been sent by him to speak his word to you, no matter how scandalous or offensive it is to your ears, and no matter how deadly they are to your sinful flesh. Jesus speaks words that you need to hear. Oh yes, words that even hurt you today. His words cut you to the quick. They kill you. Thanks be to God for that. Seriously. Because the only thing that can be done to your sinful flesh or your old Adam that believes that life consists in possessions and wealth is that old Adam must be put to death. Daily. The deadly work that was begun in your baptism into Christ will only be finished when you're buried 6 feet under. But this is the good thing that God does for you, to kill your covetousness and your greed and trusting wealth and possessions as your God. Now, brothers and sisters, this isn't a matter of just getting priorities straight. It isn't just simply a matter of putting Jesus first and let everything else fall behind him. Jesus will not be treated as a priority on your list of priorities. Jesus instead wants to be your God alone, who has Good Friday'd you. He claims your wholehearted fear, love, and trust above all things. Jesus is the center of your life, the center of your work, your play, your family, your toys, yes, even your bank accounts. With Jesus at the center, everything else then has its proper place and perspective. Without Jesus as the center or savior, everything in life then truly is meaningless. It is empty. It is vanity. Or as Paul said, idolatry. Idolatry. That's what the apostle said. Let me remind you. He said greed or covetousness is idolatry. He lumps greed with sexual immorality, impurity, passion, and evil desire. Did that just shock you? Are you now stunned and shaken by those words? Or better yet, has your old Adam, your sinful nature, now been put to death? The desire that you have to 24/7, 365, relentlessly, without any Sabbath day rest, to accumulate vast wealth and endless possessions falls under the same condemnation as sexual sin, lust, and wicked desires. All sin, no matter what it is, at the heart is idolatry, because it is the worship of the self and not Jesus. It makes you to be Lord and Savior and not Jesus. So Jesus warns you today in the text, take care, be on your guard against all greed or covetousness. Why would Jesus say that? Here's why. Greed sets neighbor against neighbor, brother against brother, sister against sister, community member against community member, church member against church member. Most especially in the bickering, bitter bickering over an inheritance. It is a ghastly thing when families and friends are divided over inheritance money and property. When blood brothers or brothers in Christ argue and take each other to court over the father's inheritance. We heard it today in the gospel. The two in today's gospel reading even tried to enlist Jesus as judge to adjudicate an inheritance case, trying to get Jesus to approve of their greed, their covetousness. They should have known better. And you should know better too. And that then is why Jesus tells the parable in the text. The rich farmer has a bumper crop, the best ever. Kind of sounds familiar. But truth be told, if you look at the text very carefully, again, look at the text very carefully. It was the land, it was the ground that produced the harvest, not the farmer. The farmer's nothing. His servants plant the seed. They tend the soil. The rain and the sunshine come at the right time and the right amounts. The earthworms and fertilizer did their thing. The grain then was copious. It was all a gift from the Lord. The farmer did nothing. Harvest comes. And what does the rich farmer do? He's frantic. He worries. Why? Because his life consists in his what? Possessions. His dilemma then is to do what to do with the extra. I have no place to store my crops. So he does what any farmer would do. I will tear down my barns. I will build bigger ones to put all my grain in and all my goods. Did you catch what he said? My crops. My barns, my grain, my goods, my. The litany of the self-made idolatrous man. This is the liturgy of idolatry, the worship of the covetous or greedy heart. Build the bigger barns, and then finally he can kick back, relax, and take life easy. He says, I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for yourself for many years, so relax, eat, drink, and be merry. And that's when the parable twists and turns. God has different plans. Fool, this night, this very night, your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be now? Tonight, you die. The rich farmer foolishly figured he had time. Time to build, time to store, time to enjoy. Would he have done the same had he had known that that day was his last? What about you? How do you know that today is not your last day? The day that your soul will be demanded of you. What better place to be then than here in the divine service, hearing the words of Good Friday Jesus, especially the forgiveness of your sins, eating and drinking the body and blood of Jesus, your Savior. Yes, greed robs people. It robbed two brothers of harmony and peace who wanted Jesus to adjudicate their inheritance. They argued over it, and so have you. Greed robbed the rich man of any joy that he might have had from his wealth and possessions. Greed deprived him of the joy of using all of his stuff and money for the sake of loving other people, to take care of the poor, to feed the hungry, to provide jobs and income for others. Yes, greed is what cheated him. It fleeced him of the ability to enjoy life and the gifts that God had given him. His covetousness, his greed, never gave him the time to relax because he was always wanting more. And when he finally tried to enjoy it all, it was too late. And he died a miserly man, alone, without friends, without family. And in the text, if you read it very carefully, he died talking only to who? To himself. Rich in things, poor in faith, barns bursting to the brim, yet hearts empty and cold toward God. That's exactly how it will be with you or anyone that stores up things for himself but is not rich in faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. You will die. I can guarantee that. And someone else will get to play with all your toys. Or your family will fight ferociously over them when you're gone. And so today, as your pastor, I must warn you, as St. Paul did with the early Christian church. And it is this. Listen carefully. This is 1 Timothy 6. Love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and have pierced themselves with many pangs. Yes, it's true. You can destroy your faith in Jesus if you run after riches. You cannot serve both Jesus and money. Only one can be the center of your life, and that's the one that hung on the cross who saved you on the Friday we all call good. So, brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you something else. Jesus came so that you can have life. Life to the full, an abundant life. Jesus was rich, but for your sake he became poor. Born of a humble virgin mother, laid in a manger, a poor preacher from Galilee, no place to lay his head, crucified as a capital criminal. Yes, he became poor in your sin and hellacious death, so that by his poverty, you would become rich toward God in his life that he gave into death for you. So that you are rich in his mercy, wealthy in his forgiveness, opulent in true freedom. Yes, Jesus has set you free, not just from sin and death, but from every false hope, from all anxiety, every worry, and every idol. Jesus has set you free. He has raised you. He has seated you with him at the Father's right hand. You have already died, Paul said to the Colossians, in the big death of your baptism. And so your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Jesus has made you kings and queens, royalty in his kingdom. He has anointed you priests in his priesthood. He has given you gifts that gold and silver, credit cards, or all the wealth on the earth cannot buy. And that's eternal life. Forgiveness, salvation, the Holy Spirit, his body, and his blood. Here is the truth, brothers and sisters. Listen again. Your life does not consist in the abundance of your possessions. Your life instead consists in the abundance of what Jesus has done for you and what he gives to you. You can lose everything that you have today. You could lose your house. Maybe the tornado could have come in this storm this morning. You could have lost your house, your work, your savings, your checking account, your pension, everything. And yet you would have lost nothing. The kingdom of God in Jesus is yours. The riches of all of heaven are yours. Eternal life is yours. Now I've got to wrap this up. Solomon said in the Old Testament reading we heard today that there is nothing better for a person than that he should eat and drink and find enjoyment in his work. This also, Solomon said, I saw, is from the hand of God. For apart from him, who can eat or who can have enjoyment? Satisfaction in work and the joy of life comes when Jesus is the center. With Jesus crucified for your sins and raised for your life, when he is the center, then you are free to enjoy what God gives you in this life. You are set free to give generously to God and to give to others. You are free to work and then enjoy the fruit of your work, to be content with what you have. After all, the purpose and meaning of life is not tied to what you have or what you do, but to who you are and to whom you belong. You are God's baptized children. That's why Paul says your life is hidden with Christ in God. Many today still talk like the ancient Greeks. When they would have a party and give a toast, the ancient Greeks would say, "Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die." You speak and believe differently. You who are Good Friday and baptized, who've been crucified with Jesus, buried with him, raised with him, and glorified with him, you talk like this. Yeah, let's eat. Let's drink. And let's have a great time. For tomorrow, we live. Indeed. For starters, today let's eat and drink his body and blood, trusting his promise that everything's forgiven. And where all is forgiven, you have life and salvation. And you're free then. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.